It's mystery time. Time now for the best in mystery. Tonight, Mystery Classic stars Mason Adams in The White Curtain. Good evening. This is your host for Mystery Time, Don Dowd. Tonight, Mystery Time reaches into the files of the world's finest stories to bring you a mystery classic. This is a highly suspenseful story of two strong-willed men and a beautiful woman, thrown together by the forces of nature on a rampage. Listen now as Mystery Classics presents the chilling drama, The White Curtain.
From May to November, Mount Frosty, the highest peak of the Yellow Mountain Range, is alive with tourists. They drive up the winding auto road in station wagon taxis from the coach house at the base, or they make their way up the trails on foot. The weatherman on summer duty gets plenty of company, all he wants. It's only when my stint begins in September that it gets lonely up there. And it stays that way for 8 everlasting months. Nobody comes up anymore. Nobody at all. In loneliness like that, a man's dreams take on a peculiar substance and dimension. Often it's hard to tell where a dream leaves off and reality begins. There was that afternoon towards the end of November. I was sitting in my cabin just staring into the grate of the electric heater. I fell asleep, and I began to dream about a beautiful woman. She was tall and slim. She had a feminine grace that made every motion of hers a figure in a dance. Her hair was black, black as night, with shining lights reflected from its waves. Her eyes were blue, no, purple, the hazy purple of the far horizon, and her skin deep under the outdoor tan was fair and smooth. Her voice was low, husky, and her mouth, her knowing, eager mouth was soft and yielding. Suddenly, a knock at the door brought me back to reality.
Hey, open up in there. Open up.
Just a minute.
Oh. Are you deaf or something? I've been knocking for 5 minutes.
What do you want?
You mind if we come in and warm up? It's cold out here.
What are you doing here? Didn't you see the sign at the foot of the road? The mountain is closed to tourists for the winter.
We came up one of the trails, stopped at the Devil's Cauldron, and then came on up to the top. We could just rest a bit before we start down again. This is my wife, Zoe.
Your wife? Won't you come in? It was the girl I'd been dreaming about. Only her hair was different. It wasn't black at all, but a sort of honey brown.
Oh, I'm a walking icicle.
You must be exhausted. Sit down over there in front of the heater. That'll warm you up.
Must be way below freezing up here on the peak.
It's 10 above 0 right now and getting colder.
Getting colder? Hear that, Zoe? We'd better get the chill out and then start right down again.
Yes, I suppose so, Melvin.
No.
Although...
No, you can't go. It's a 4-hour trip going down this mountain. You won't make it before dark.
Well, we'll take the auto road down. I have a flashlight in my haversack.
No, I'm sorry. I can't allow you to go.
Come now, old man. You're not going to tell us what we can or can't do.
But it's... It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. I suggest that you stay over. I've got plenty of room. You can start out in the morning, go down by daylight.
Melvin, I'm tired. Why shouldn't we stay over? Well, that is if Mr.
Parker, Fred Parker.
But if Mr. Parker does have room for us.
Oh, I have plenty of room. There are 2 bedrooms with a bunk in each of them. You two can have the bunks. I'll sleep out here on the couch.
Please, Melvin, I think we should.
Well, all right. Thanks a lot.
Don't thank me. You're doing me the favor. Having company is something I can only dream about, ordinarily.
I suppose it does get awfully lonesome up here, doesn't it?
Yes, at times it does.
Oh, by the way, I'm Zoe Colby, Mr. Parker, and this is my husband, Melvin Colby.
Glad to know you.
How do you do?
You just get your things off, and I'll get supper started. You must be plenty hungry after that climb up the trail.
Oh, maybe a little. Made it up in 6 hours, though. That isn't bad time.
Oh, that's pretty good. Say, how come they didn't tell you at the coach house that the mountain was closed to visitors?
We weren't staying at the coach house. We're on an auto trip cross country. Parked the car at the foot of the East Trail early this morning and came right on up.
Isn't this an unusual time of year for a vacation?
Oh, I'm not on a vacation exactly. Sold out my business 4 months ago, and Zoe and I have been traveling ever since. Footloose and fancy free. No strings to hold us anyplace. No relatives to worry about. When we find someplace we really like, we'll settle down.
That's nice.
Do you really spend the whole winter up here alone, Mr. Parker?
That's right. Oh, I do get some visitors in May and June. Otherwise, it's 8 months of solitary.
Oh.
But I get July and August off.
I guess it gets pretty cold up here in December and January.
Cold starts in November. Mercury can go down to 30 or 40 below overnight.
Just thinking about it makes me sure. How about a drink, Parker?
Sorry, I don't have anything. Government regulations.
I have a bottle in my haversack. You see, I'm prepared for all emergencies. Let me open this. Pair of socks, sweater, knife, can of beans, can of meat, pistol. There. Quart of the best. You'll have one, won't you?
I don't mind if I do.
Zoe?
No, thanks.
Here's a couple of glasses.
Okay.
Hey, if that's for me, that's enough.
Really? Well, there you are.
Thank you. Looks like pretty good stuff.
It is the best. Well, here's how.
Yeah.
Well, we kill that in a hurry. How about another?
No, thanks.
Well, I'll have a little more. That just hit the spot.
Oh, Melvin, please.
Lay off, Zoe. I can handle it.
Excuse me, folks, for a few minutes. I've got to go out and read the instruments.
Well, make sure you order some decent weather for tomorrow.
I went out to the weather shed, made my entries in the log, and came back. I'd only been gone a few minutes, but Melvin was bent over the table with his head on his arms. I thought he was drunk. Zoe was at the window, staring moodily out at the gathering dusk. I went to the phone. Hello, McGuire. 5 o'clock reading. Temperature dry bulb zero, wet bulb minus two. Relative humidity 92%. Yeah, partly cloudy, 0.4 altostratus. The wind, northwest 39 miles per hour. Barometric pressure at the station, 600 millibars. Yeah, it looks that way. Right, that's all for tonight. So long, McGuire. Well, that's done. How about some food?
I'm afraid I owe you an apology. My husband's fallen asleep. The warmth and the liquor were too much for him.
You don't owe me. Maybe it's a good thing all around. Zoe helped me get Melvin into a bunk. Then we had our supper. There wasn't much said during the meal, but afterwards it was snug and cozy sitting in the easy chairs. And when I noticed the first of the snowflakes flying against the double windows, I had to hide a smile. Now there wouldn't be any talk of going down in the morning. With luck, I could count on Zoe's being with me for a long time. Zoe, and Melvin too, of course. The next morning, I just finished phoning in my 8 o'clock report when Melvin came out of his room.
Hi.
All night.
When will it stop?
Oh, 3 days, 4 days, week maybe, I don't know.
That's great. There's going to be no cinch going down in the snow.
You better not try it at all.
But I'm not going to wait a week, that's for sure.
You're going to wait until it's clear.
Now, look here, Parker. What are you trying to pull?
No one ever goes down in a blizzard like this.
Oh, no? Hey, are you...
Yes, Melvin, I'm up. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I got some news, Zoe. Fred's trying to tell me we're stuck here, maybe for good.
Well, I've been watching the snow from my window. It's awfully thick.
Well, have some coffee and get into your coat. We're leaving in 10 minutes.
But if Fred says we can't do it, perhaps he knows what he's talking about.
I don't believe him. He wants us to stay. Misery, perhaps, wants company.
Look, the thermometer is down to 20 below zero out there, and the wind is over 60 miles an hour. You won't get half a mile.
It's all down here.
There have been 18 inches of snow. That means drifts higher than your head in places. It's suicide trying to go down now.
Well, if we waited for the snow to stop, could we make it?
No. You're here indefinitely.
You're wrong. We're leaving.
You're staying here.
Please, Melvin. Maybe he's right.
If you try to leave... I'll have to slug you, Colby.
No kidding. Well, maybe this revolver I brought along will make you change your mind.
Zoe, I beg of you not to go with him. You'll never make it.
So it's Zoe, is it? Now I see why you're so anxious to keep us. Come on, Zoe, finish your coffee. Get your things and we're off.
In a few minutes, they left. I watched them from the window. I could see the wind tearing at their clothes, the snow driving into their faces. Then they turned a bend in the trail and disappeared. They'd be dead in an hour unless... I got into my hobnail boots and furs and started after them. I bent over their footprints, which the snow and the wind had already begun to fill in, and I struggled into the gale. 100 yards and I was chilled to the bone. Another 100 yards and the trail divided. One set of footprints going one way, the second another. I followed the shallower set of prints. After a few steps, they seemed to wander blindly. 15 minutes later, I stumbled over Zoe's snow-covered body. I swept the snow aside and bent close to her pale, white face. She was still breathing. I lifted her to my shoulder, and I clawed and fought my way back up the mountain.
Oh, you found her.
Yes, I found her. You found your way back here, too.
Here.
Don't you touch her. I'll take care of her.
Is she all right?
She will be. I'll get her under some blankets.
Oh, it was terrible out there. Terrible. I never realized.
I put Zoe into a bunk, covered her with blankets, and let her sleep. When I came into the main room, Colby was nursing a drink.
Well, I suppose I ought to tell you how grateful,
grateful.
I am.
Grateful? You're not grateful. You hate me for what I did.
What are you talking about? Why should I hate you for saving my wife's life?
I know how a man's mind works. I do lots of reading up here. You left her out there to die. By bringing her back, I showed you up for the coward you are. That's why you hate me.
That is sheer, stupid, utter nonsense. I didn't want her to die.
But still, you wish I hadn't saved her. And you know why? Because you realize she isn't yours anymore. You abandoned her and I brought her back. I've got a greater right to her than you have now.
What kind of crazy logic is that?
It's like the law of salvage. She belongs to the one who saved her.
You're out of your head. You're talking like a madman.
We'll see. We'll see. That night at supper, Zoe, pale and weak, sat across from Melvin. She'd slept all day and she still didn't know how she'd gotten back to the cabin. But I was ready to explain all that. Zoe, you haven't asked me how you got back to the cabin this morning.
Well, didn't Melvin bring me back?
No. He left you out there in the snow to freeze to death. Melvin came back alone.
Oh, I see.
Don't listen to him, Zoe. You know how we got separated. The snow was coming down heavily. I couldn't see you. I couldn't find you. I shouted and you didn't hear me.
You didn't look very hard or very far, did you, Melvin? You left her there in the mountain and came running back to the cabin.
I came back to get you to help me.
And when you didn't find me, you just sat down and waited. You're afraid to go out again. Your own sweet life was too precious.
That's a lie, Zoe. Don't listen to him.
It's all right, Melvin. All right. I understand.
You listen to me, both of you. You've got to know this sooner or later anyway. I love you, Zoe.
You what?
Whatever rights Melvin had as your husband, he lost when he left you out there to die. You don't owe him a thing. Melvin is full of hate, Zoe. He hates me because I showed him up for a coward. He hates you because you know that he deserted you. And he even hates himself because he's lost his self-respect. And I say this right in his presence. That hate is going to explode sometime and he's going to try to kill me. Maybe you too.
Please. Please, you mustn't say such things. You mustn't talk like that.
It's the truth. That's why I've taken his gun away.
You've gone into my
knapsack. Yes, I have it, Melvin. But even so, we'll have to watch him watch every move he makes.
No. No, you're wrong, Freddy. People like us don't kill.
I won't give him a chance to try it. Now it's time to go out to the instrument shed again, but I'll be within call if you need me. I could see her staring at Melvin in horror as the realization of what I'd said slowly sank in. I rushed through my reading as fast as I could, and when I got back, I found them sitting on opposite sides of the room. I was certain then that she was finished with him, but she turned to me. I think you'd better go to bed now, Melvin. I want to make sure you're locked in your room before I turn in. Just a precautionary measure. Now, look
Melvin.
Here.
Melvin, do as he says.
All right. If you say so.
Freddy, I want to thank you for saving my life. That was very brave of you.
You don't have to thank me, Zoe.
But about Melvin, I think you're wrong. He's ashamed, perhaps, of leaving
Zoe,
me.
Zoe, but... he hates you, believe me. That's what gave me the courage to tell you... to tell you I love you. You may think it a little strange.
Oh, no, Freddy, I don't think it's strange at all. These things happen, at least in books.
I've always loved you. I dreamed about you for months, for years. And when you came through that door yesterday, I knew that everything I'd ever dreamed of was about to come true. I'm glad Melvin hates you because it leaves you free.
Freddy, if he does, and if he's dangerous, well, you have a phone. But couldn't you phone down to the valley for help?
They couldn't get up any further than the Devil's Cauldron. We'll just have to watch him. If worse comes to worst, I've got his gun.
No, Fred. That would be murder, and they'd hang you for it.
Self-defense? But nobody would ever have to know. I could just drop his body into the cauldron, and it would never be found.
Yes, but you'd have it on your conscience.
Yes, I might. But I'd do anything to set you free, Zoe. Anything. Zoe, would you kiss me goodnight?
Yes, Freddy, I will.
For the next 2 days, Melvin was very quiet and morose. He stayed in his room. I could see that he was planning something. Occasionally, Zoe would go in and talk to him, and I could hear the murmur of her low, urgent voice. She tried to reason with him, bring him to his senses. But his hate just couldn't be bridled. On the fourth morning, it stopped snowing. The thin, weak sunlight glanced off the smooth whiteness of the mountain, and through the window, it gave a false sense of security and warmth. I thought Zoe had managed to talk some sense into him, or he'd never have caught me the way he did. I was in the storeroom getting some things for lunch when he jumped for the door and slammed it shut. By the time I broke the door panels, they had gone. My furs were missing, too, both suits of them. I threw on some sweaters and a leather jacket, switched the revolver to an outside pocket, and went after them. They were about 300 yards below, stumbling through the drift, slipping on the icy rock. It took an hour before I caught up with them.
Melvin! Melvin, wait! Stop! Stop or I'll shoot!
No! No, don't shoot!
That was a nice trick you pulled, Melvin, but you're lucky I managed to catch up with you.
Now turn around and start back.
Please, Freddy, please try to understand.
I'm not going back, Parker.
Then go on alone if you think you can make it. I'm taking Zoe back with me.
Why, you fool!
Freddy's right, Melvin. You go on alone. I'll go back with you.
Come on, Zoe.
Oh, no, you don't! Oh! Oh.
Melvin. Melvin!
I had to do it, Zoe. For your sake.
What are you going to do now?
Get rid of his body first. In the cauldron. You'd better come with me or you'll get lost up here.
Yes. Yes. Anything you say.
I shoved the gun into my pocket. Quickly, I stripped the furs off Melvin's body and put them on. Then I tied his shoelaces to his hands and lifted his body over my left shoulder like a blanket roll, his feet under my right arm. And that way I could carry him and still have my hands free. Holding onto Zoe with my left hand, I started for the cauldron's rim. With the dead weight of Colby's corpse dragging at my neck, I felt the strength draining out of me. Inch by inch, foot by foot, we struggled down the mountain toward the cauldron's tip. After an hour, we took a 10-minute rest. The sweat in our clothes had frozen and the cloth crackled as we continued on. The grade was steeper now. Again and again we slipped, fell, dragged ourselves to our feet, only to fall again. Zoe was crying now. Oh, don't cry, Zoe. It can't be much farther.
I can't go on. I can't.
But I dragged her on. And then, just a few feet away, a vast gray smudge separated the whiteness of the earth from the pale blue of the sky. It was the cauldron. In a few minutes, we were down to the rim. Everything was going to be all right. Even the wind was on our side. It had blown the snow clear of the stone fence at the rim.
Zoe, we're in luck. Now help me get him off my neck.
No.
What's wrong, Zoe?
She dropped to her knees, her face frozen into a mask of misery. I pushed upward against Kobe's underarm so that I could lift the body over my head. It didn't budge. I yanked and pulled with all my might, but it didn't give a single inch. I threw myself on the ground and clawed frantically at that rigid, frozen mass. It was no use. The body held me in a vice.
Zoe, help me. I can't do this myself.
I can't.
Help me, Zoe. If I don't get out of this, we'll die here, both of us.
I can't move. And I couldn't help you even if I wanted to.
If you wanted to? Zoe! Zoe!
You're a fool, Freddy. Melvin never hated me. He loved me, and I always loved him. We were both terrified of you, Freddy, from the very first moment. You don't see things the way other people do. You imagine things. We tried to humor you until we could escape.
That should have been the end. And it would have been if they hadn't gotten worried down at the base station when they didn't receive my afternoon report. They sent up a rescue party and found us unconscious at the cauldron's rim. I'm still in a hospital. And when I'm well enough, they say I may have to stand trial. But I don't care what happens. I can still have my dreams. My beautiful dreams. And if they never come true, well, perhaps it's better that they never do.
This is Don Dowd again, your host for Mystery Time. Tonight's mystery classic, The White Curtain, was written by George and Gertrude Fass, starred Mason Adams, and was produced by Clark Andrews in association with Ronald Dawson and Robert Arthur. Featured in tonight's drama were George Petrie and Ann Loring.